Good morning. How are y'all? Excited to be here. Very welcoming and loving church that y'all have this morning. I talked to Pastor Steve on Wednesday, and he said no shorter than an hour sermon, so, you know, I'll see what I can do. A little bit of background about myself. I'm 37 years. I was born and raised in Indianapolis. Met my wife, Whitney. We got married in 2009 and had our first child December 18th, 2013. So we have a 2.5-year-old. And this past Christmas Eve, we just had our second daughter. So I'm outnumbered 3-1. I'm excited about that. And we had prayed for a long time. My wife's originally from New Albany, so we had prayed to come, that God would move us down here to be close to her family, because every mother needs her mother to help with the kids. And after a lot of years of us thinking that God just wanted to keep us in Indy, I got a phone call last August. I work for AT&T, and they said, would you be interested in transferring to New Albany? And I said, oh, absolutely. And, you know, they thought it was their idea that they were moving us, and they're sadly mistaken that God had it in the works. But we were part of a church. I was an associate pastor and then the interim pastor of our church up in Indy. And now we go to First Baptist Church Sellersburg with Pastor Steve Davidson, and he's very gracious. He lets me preach. I'm preaching tonight at First Baptist Church of Sellersburg and teach Sunday school, and it's good. So we bought a house in Sellersburg in January, and we're settled in, and so that's a little bit of background on me and my family. We thought about keeping our daughters in here, but when we got here, some folks back there got to hear my 2.5-year-old wanting to go all over the place, fake sneezing, wanting everybody to say God bless you. So they're back there with Miss LaVon. This morning, I prayed about what I was going to preach on, and God laid it on my heart to get back to the basics. We're going to get back to the basics. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This morning, the passage calls us to return to the joy and basics of our faith. Do y'all remember when you were first saved? When you first accepted Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior? For some of you, the weight and guilt from your life and your past were lifted, and you felt clean, you felt whole, inside and out. For others of you, being in God's will and under His care meant you no longer lived without purpose or meaning. You finally realized why you were born. You now understood your calling. Still for others, your anxiety about death was replaced with the assurance of eternal life with God in heaven. You were at peace with your life and your death here on earth. Some of you experienced an unconditional love and acceptance that you could only have dreamt about, a love that you had desired to receive from family, friends, co-workers, but they could never fill that order. And now through Christ, you had found that unconditional love you were longing for, and that brought comfort to your heart and tears to your eyes. But somehow over the months or years, the joy of receiving Christ and having peace with God turned into a boring routine, or even worse, you returned to the experience you had before you accepted Christ. You again feel that you alone are responsible to carry the burdens of this life. You again feel that you have to work off your guilt and your sins through sacrifice and good deeds. Some of you are trying to earn God's love and acceptance again. Because you look around at other Christians who appear to be free of sin and hurt, you simply cannot believe that God could love you again after what you've done. As a result, the anxiety about death returns. The uncertainty of your purpose returns. Because you aren't sure that God's promise of eternal life in heaven applies to you anymore, since you haven't held up your end of the bargain. If what I have described sounds anything like what you're experiencing, you are not alone. There are many around you that have or are experiencing those same doubts and fears. But Paul wants you to return to the basics of your faith, which is also the path to the joy of our faith. Let's look at today's scripture verses. Philippians 3, verses 1 through 6. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Our main focus will be in verses 1 through 3, but we're going to look at 4 through 6. Paul points out that what he repeats is a safeguard to the Philippians. In chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, Paul encouraged the Philippians with these words: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. The safeguard was against false teaching that entered the church of Philippi in the absence of their pastor, Paul. The false teachers were probably Judaizers, who were teaching that a right relationship with God through Christ has to first meet the requirements of the Jewish laws, including circumcision. By the time of Paul, circumcision no longer was a sign of an intimate relationship between the Jews and God, but this practice became a requirement in order to have an intimate relationship with God. This was an abuse of God's original intent. Paul called these Judaizers dogs, evildoers, and mutilators of the flesh because they had turned God's circumcision, his covenant, into a requirement for a right relationship with God. There's a story of a wealthy man's wife who was dying. She was a very wise lady, and her last wish was to have a portrait of herself painted. But she wanted the painter to paint a tremendously large diamond ring on her ring finger. The diamond on that ring in the portrait, had it been real, would have cost more than the husband's entire fortune. Soon after she died, her husband got engaged to a young woman about half his age. But before she would marry him, she required that he give her that diamond ring she saw in the painting of his former wife. The diamond ring, in American culture, is a sign of an existing intimate relationship moving toward marriage. But when the ring becomes a requirement for a relationship to move toward marriage, wisdom would suggest you do not have a right and healthy relationship. In that same way, the Judaizers turned the sign into a requirement when they required the Christians at Philippi to be circumcised in order to have a right relationship with God. Paul responds to the false teaching by returning circumcision to its proper place as a sign of a right relationship with God, but not a requirement. In fact, Paul points out how he possessed all the outward signs of a right relationship with God. But he warns the Philippians that outward signs are not guarantees for relational and inward realities. How many of us know someone that looks the part, that fits that Christian mold to a T? Probably all of you, right? Just because you smile and say you're fine or great on Sunday morning doesn't mean you didn't argue with your kids or spouse all the way from home to church this morning. Just because you serve in the church or know the Christian terms doesn't mean that you're in God's will or that you're growing in godly wisdom. And just because you carry a Bible and attend church does not obligate God to forgive you your sins and give you eternal life in heaven. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that these things are possible. This morning, Paul gives us two basic keys for a right and healthy relationship with God that leads to joy in that relationship. If we apply these two basic keys to the way we relate to God, joy will once again replace boredom, worry, and anxiety. The first key for a right and healthy relationship is to worship God by the Spirit of God. This is found in verse 3. Now, most of us believe that we worship God in a location or with outward actions. We don't say that's what we believe, but our emotional reaction would suggest the following. Church is where we worship God. Singing, listening to a message, and giving our money, and service is how we worship God. But God is spirit. How can he be contained to a building? Or how can he benefit from our singing or our listening to his word being taught? How can God benefit from our money or our service? After all, by definition, he has no needs. The church attendance and the various actions are the signs or outlets for our response to God. Because we are both physical and spiritual beings, we respond to God in worship through physical means as well. Worship of God without outward physical expression would be incomplete. Look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." We are told to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Worshiping God, we come together as a church. We don't just stay at home and be by ourselves. There's something special about coming together and worshiping corporately, together as a body. Most of the time, we lose our joy when we confuse coming to a location with worshiping God. It all goes back to your heart. Quiet times in prayer, studying and applying God's word to our life are outlets for expressing worship to God. Giving financially and serving through the church are also outlets for our expression of worship. But when we confuse our outlets for expression with our inward desire to worship God, our expression no longer brings us joy. We begin going through the motions. When we don't have the inward desire to worship God, those outlets become burdens. And burdens over time become boredom. Boredom or barriers to true worship. Prayers move from two lovers sharing their joys and sorrows with each other to an individual reading off a shopping list of needs and wants to God. It becomes a monologue instead of a dialogue. We fail to hear God. Studying and applying God's word to life move from reading a love letter from God with wisdom for enjoying life to reading a list of do's and don'ts from an unwanted and irrelevant book. Giving financially and serving through the church move from opportunities of partnering with God and demonstrating his love to the world to obligations for sacrificing our possessions and time. There were three men carving stones on a sidewalk. When the first one was asked what he was doing, he replied, "Can't you see? I'm chipping away at a rock." When the second person was asked what he was doing, he replied, "I'm working to provide for my family." When the third person was asked what he was doing, he beamed and replied, "I am building a cathedral in honor of my God." Which one is worshiping God? All three of them were doing the same thing, but it was the last one's heart. He was worshiping God. We worship God not by obligation, not by tradition, but by the Spirit of God. I'm not suggesting that we let our feelings determine whether we pray, study the Bible, give financially, or serve. In fact, when we pray, study the Bible, give and serve, we are more likely to encounter God because these are avenues he chooses to reveal himself. What I am suggesting is that if you do these things and you don't experience the expected joy of encountering God, you may want to check if you've confused the outlets or avenues with true worship of God. The second key for a right and healthy relationship with God that leads to joy is to glory in Christ. We also find this in verse 3 as well. To glory in Christ means to give Christ the credit and to trust him to be sufficient in restoring our relationship with God. We are able to experience tremendous joy when we first received Christ, because the burden of being right with God was no longer on us. We no longer needed to do the impossible, to bridge the gap between a holy God and our sinful selves. We understood Christ gets the credit for our restored relationship with God and our eternal life in heaven. There are two beliefs about salvation in this world. The first view is that we work to save ourselves. The second view is that we cannot save ourselves, and unless God reaches down to save us, we will never be able to be restored to him. Christians hold the second view, which is the reason for trusting Jesus and glorifying in him. Yet, whether because of false teachings or false observations, many of us come up with a different conclusion over time. We say we trust Christ to be sufficient for our right standing before God and at the final judgment, but we fail to live up to God's standards, which every one of us do. We go back to making our own effort to impress God or to persuade God to accept us. Or in some cases, we play God and we punish ourselves with destructive behaviors or horrible guilt trips. After all, that's what we observe taking place in our human relationships. We don't live up to our teacher's standards. We have to make up work or fail to move ahead. When we don't live up to our parents' standards, we lose their affection and we feel guilty. When we don't live up to our employer's standards, we receive reprimand or we're fired. And the months and years of relating this way with one another leads to us inaccurately concluding that these human responses to failure are the same response to our failing God. And that's wrong. Yet God is saying to us, what are you doing? Don't you know? Don't you remember that you trusted in my son Jesus? You don't need to rely on your flesh or your moral, mental, and physical achievements. If you could restore our relationship in the first place, I wouldn't have had to send my son to die on the cross for your failures. And so we lose our joy and regain our guilt and anxiety until by God's grace, we come to our senses and glory in Christ, not putting any confidence in our fleshly efforts or achievements. And Paul explains that he has every right to rely on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Michael Quest, a French priest, understood the power of pride to keep a fallen man down. And these are the words of his prayer and his reflection on God's response. I have fallen, Lord, once more. I can't go on. I'll never succeed. I am ashamed. I don't dare look at you. And the Lord answered, come, child, look up. Isn't it mainly your vanity that is wounded? If you love me, you would grieve, but you would also trust. Ask my pardon and get up quickly. You see, it's not falling that is the worst, but staying on the ground. A father caught his 10-year-old son smoking. The father told his son that if he ever does that again, he would belt him 3 times on his rear. Like most of us, the son soon gave in to temptation again, and his father caught him smoking for a second time. The father sent his son to his room. An hour later, the father made his way to the son's room and asked if his son would like to join the family for dessert. As the family enjoyed their dessert together, the father explained, son, I said if you smoked again, I'd give you 3 smacks across the rear. You only got sent to your room. That's mercy. The ice cream you're now having is grace. If we got what we deserved, we would all be dead. The fact that we are alive, even though we have sinned against a holy God, is a result of God's mercy. And if our relationship with God depended on our own effort, we would not have the slightest chance to make that relationship right and healthy. The fact that we can have a right and healthy relationship with God through Jesus Christ is a result of God's grace. We didn't earn it, but we need it, and it's ours to take. We have to get back to the basics. I don't know where you're at today in your salvation. I don't know if you've ever truly trusted God and accepted His Son into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe today you can relate with losing your first love, forgetting when you were very first saved, that feeling of freedom, that freedom that comes from being in Christ and glorifying in Him. We're going to have a time of invitation. And maybe today you need to make that decision. Maybe you need to say, today is the day I'm going to give my life to Christ. Because I tell you, we're not guaranteed later. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. we're not guaranteed next year. But what we are guaranteed is eternity in heaven with God when we put our faith and trust in His Son, Jesus. That is a guarantee you can take home. So if today you haven't made that decision, I encourage you to pray, and I encourage you to walk forward and pray and make that decision. Or if you've walked away and you've forgotten that first love, maybe today you need to make that commitment to come forward to say, I've got to get back. Because if your relationship has drifted, guess who moved? Not God. Not God. But I'm thankful that we have a God that allows U-turns and allows us to come back. And He's full of grace. So if today you fall into any of those categories, I'd ask that you come up here in this time of invitation, this time of commitment. I'll pray with you. One of the deacons will be up here. Make that decision today. Take that guarantee home.